The digital revolution marks the biggest change in movie making since the advent of sound. Anyone who loves movies should know what's at stake. So says Midday film critic Linda DeLibero. In this month's edition of Midday on Film, how digital technology has affected not only movie making, but the viewing experience. Movies are increasingly either partly or entirely digital, created with computers. Some changes are hardly visible, others abundantly obvious. Digital technology is here to stay. So, is film dead? We'll talk about that with Linda DeLibero and filmmaker Christopher Llewellyn Reed. Plus, we'll hear from Chris Keneally, writer and director of Side by Side, a documentary about the science, art, and impact of digital cinema. First, the news. Welcome to our second hour, our November edition of Midday on Film. Speaking of which, we start off today's discussion by noting a business news development from a winter day in Rochester, New York, earlier this year. Back in January, Eastman Kodak, the pioneering film company that had been struggling for years to adapt to an increasingly digital world, filed for bankruptcy protection. You may remember that. Kodak had been in business up to that point for 131 years, and in addition to providing generations of professional and amateur photographers with film for their still cameras, Eastman Kodak provided Hollywood with thousands of miles of film for movies. In fact, 80 Oscar Best Pictures were shot on Kodak film, according to the company. In its bankruptcy proceedings, Eastman Kodak has asked a judge to allow it to renegotiate sales agreements with the major Hollywood studios. The studios have agreed to keep using Kodak's film through 2015, but the digital age is here, and film lovers might wonder if film is dead. Digital technology is changing movies in such profound ways that the word film is becoming a word of convenience and tradition, so says A.O. Scott in the New York Times. In this month's edition of Midday on Film, how digital technology has affected not only movie making, but the viewing experience. Our guests are here, as they are on the first Friday of each month, Linda DeLibero, Midday film critic and associate director of film studies at Johns Hopkins University. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Dan.
And filmmaker Christopher Llewellyn Reed, chair and associate professor of the Department of Film and Video at Stevenson University. Chris, nice to see you again.
Hi, Dan. It's great to be back.
And later on, we'll be visited with another Chris Keneally, writer and director of Side by Side. Side by Side is a documentary about the science, art, and impact of the digital camera, of digital cinema, really. And this film screened recently at a Cinema Sundays at the Charles Theater, and Christopher Llewellyn Reed was there to introduce it. So we'll get to talk about that in this hour of the show. But Linda, I'm going to start with you because I love this quote you sent me by email. She says, "The digital revolution marks the biggest change in movie making since the advent of sound. Anyone who loves movies should know what's at stake."
Did I say that?
You said that. Hey, Chris, do you think she's overstating that with that?
No, I think that this is kind of a watershed moment in terms of, you know, both artistic and technological shift.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree.
Yeah, it's clearly a big deal, and you can tell that it's a big deal because it has caused so much controversy. This movie, Side by Side, is an excellent document of all the issues involved here, and it goes to the heart of filmmaking, which is technological at its base, and it's a business. And yet we always think of it as primarily as viewers. It's an aesthetic experience, and it's an entertainment experience. We don't think about the technology or the business. And in fact, those two things have a profound impact on what we see and how we see it. And this is certainly the case with digital.
For those of us who walk into a multiplex to see any of a dozen films that are showing at any particular time, how do we know which are film and which are digital, and are they all digital?
Well, the question becomes complicated because not only are you looking at how a film was shot, but you're looking at how it's projected and perhaps how it was edited. And we've actually been seeing digital technologies used in filmmaking since the 1980s. So when you watch a film,
there have been some elements of film,
and increasingly they've been edited digitally rather than in the old-fashioned hands-on film. But when you watch a film, if it's projected digitally, you're looking at something that may have been shot on film, but what you're actually seeing on the screen is a digital image. So then how can you tell whether that was shot on film or shot digitally? And with these new technologies, the actual capture format is high enough in quality that it becomes increasingly hard to discern.
Some people may say, well, what's the difference? And by the way, isn't digital better because it's clearer? I have a high-definition television, and wow, it looks so great.
Well, it depends. I mean, if you're talking about digital projection, yes, I don't think there's any argument that it's a much better experience. Film prints, of course, wear out very quickly, and we've all had the experience of going to the movies and seeing the threads and the dirt and all of that.
Right.
That's not going to happen anymore, and it's a beautiful, crisp image. When you're talking about shooting on digital, there have been so many rapid changes in the technology that I have to say the latest cameras, digital cameras like the Arri Alexa, are approaching the quality of film. And you can't, I don't think an unpracticed eye can really tell the difference anymore. But that was certainly not the case up until a few years ago. I mean, you see some of the earlier films that were shot entirely on digital. I was thinking about this. Pieces of April was, I think, the first film I saw on the big screen in digital, and I thought, oh man, that does not look good.
It does not look good.
No, you can tell. You can definitely tell with earlier.
You said it didn't. It didn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, compared to the film of the time.
I mean, film altogether, and this is one of the things that you'll hear people who make movies talk about. It's the quality, the texture of film, the gradations of color, the richness of the color, the shimmer, because film is an illusion. It's basically light coming into, it's hitting the celluloid. So you've got, and it's silver nitrate that makes the image come together. And so you can see there's something different about the quality of it. And for a long time, video looked cheap, flat, very, you know, you could see pixelation.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't look very good, but that's rapidly changing.
Linda DeLibro and Christopher Llewellyn Reed with us for this month's edition of Midday on Film as we discuss movie making in the digital age. And one of the things that prompted this conversation was this film I mentioned earlier, Side by Side, a documentary produced by Keanu Reeves, and was shown at Cinema Sundays a couple of weeks ago over at the Charles Theater. And Chris, apparently this provoked quite a conversation, this film.
It was a very interesting conversation after the film, one of the longest that I've overseen at Cinema Sundays. And it was produced and narrated by Keanu Reeves, so he's very much a presence in the film. And it basically talks about this shift, this ongoing shift away from capturing films on the medium of film towards digital technologies. And some people interviewed in the film are triumphalists for the new technology and some are traditionalists. So it makes for an interesting conversation.
Interesting. And all sorts of directors are interviewed in the film.
All sorts of directors and cinematographers.
Okay.
Editors.
And editors. And exhibitionists, too, the people who actually show the films in their theaters. But okay, let's start off. Let's listen to a clip and then we'll hear from Chris and Linda on this. This is from Side by Side.
Everyone is interpreting that reality, or what they think is reality, through an image, through a lens, you know. And some kids are really good at it, I gotta tell you.
How come you never use me in any pictures?
You're never here.
Without digital video culture, I don't think I ever would have been making movies, because I came at it as a writer, and I always thought that you have to have a certain kind of knowledge. You have to be, basically in my head, I was like, you've got to be like a dude who knows how to operate machines to do this job. Like, I think I would have been scared to step into that role if it had involved, you know, like getting a huge camera and getting 15 lighting technicians together. It was like I was able to experiment with making movies in this really small, private way, which was what I needed to do.
Okay, there was Martin Scorsese, I'm guessing?
It was Martin Scorsese was the first voice, and the second voice was Lena Dunham. So you have kind of the older director and the much younger new director.
Now, she's talking about what some people would call the democratization of movie making, right? How digital makes it much easier for people to get into this.
Yes, in fact, in her film that we heard briefly excerpted in that clip, Tiny Furniture, was shot on what's called a DSLR, a digital single lens reflex camera made by Canon, Canon 7D, and it looks like a still camera. So for somebody like Lena Dunham, apparently, the fact that she was working with a camera that didn't look scary and intimidating is what helped her say, I can do this?
I need to just step back a minute on this film, side by side. Of course, we'll speak with the writer and the director, Chris Keneally, in a few minutes. But Keanu Reeves, you said, produced and narrates this, right? So they're very much aware that there's a debate. I mean, is it a debate in cinema?
Oh my God, yes.
Oh, really? I mean, so who's on what side? Can you lay the land for us a little bit?
I'd say that the biggest and loudest proponent of digital has always been George Lucas. He's also been a pioneer in the technology of digital. In fact, much of what we have today is due to him and his people. Industrial Light and Magic and the people at Skywalker Ranch are the ones who, you know, he's been working on this for years and years. Since the early 80s. And his attitude is basically, we've come to the end of what film can do. Let's drop it and go on to the next best thing. Probably the most visible person who is on the other side is Christopher Nolan, director of all the later Batman films.
Yeah.
And he has said, basically, he will never use digital. And anybody who thinks that you can get the same quality of image is fooling themselves.
Does that mean Dark Knight was shot on film?
Oh, yes. Yes. A lot of films are still shot
now,
on
I wonder
film.
I throw it out to the audience. I wonder if you would even notice that or understand it, or you have to have a more practiced eye to pick up that difference. So what would you say about that, Chris?
I love those films, but I would argue that probably most people wouldn't be able to tell the difference between the fact that that film was shot on film and Winter's Bone was shot on a red camera, that the quality of the image in both films is quite high and quite good. I want to say another proponent of film is Steven Spielberg, whose Lincoln, which will be released soon,
is
shot on 35
shot
minutes.
On film.
But all of these films shot on film still use things called digital intermediates, which means they're transferred to a digital format to be edited. So, like I said, this shift has been going on for a long time, and even people who shoot on film edit digitally.
So a question, if we go to see Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis, right? How is it going to be projected?
I think it depends on the theater, and that's something we can talk about later. But you know, increasingly you're seeing cinemas abandoning 35 millimeter projection in favor of digital projection, and some people predict that by the end of 2013, all cinemas will be projecting digitally.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to another clip from this documentary, Side by Side, about the digital age and movie making. Let's just listen, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
The quality of film is terrible in a theater. And anybody in Hollywood, they say, oh, it's not that bad, the camera, no, it's not that. They never go into a theater and see it in a real theater.
Titanic played so long in theaters that we actually just, our prints fell apart. They literally just dropped out of the projectors in pieces.
So we were struggling to try to get quality into the theaters. And out of that came the fact that if it was digital, you'd have a brilliant thing. You wouldn't have scratches. You wouldn't have tears.
The hype surrounding this movie has been overwhelming.
In 1999, we were able to project Phantom Menace digitally. We had two theaters in New York, two theaters in L.A., and that was the first time that a major Hollywood movie had been projected digitally.
Chris?
So that was George Lucas and James Cameron, two of the biggest proponents and triumphalists of new technology, one of whom I think is more of an artist than the other, who... George Lucas, of course, we owe him a huge debt of gratitude as a developer of new technologies, but I would at least claim that James Cameron is advancing the art as well as the technology of the medium. And I think what's interesting in that discussion is just hearing how they believe that new digital projection is always going to be superior. And as somebody who's been in theaters with projectors that aren't quite up to snuff to handle the resolution of the projection, you'll always have problems. They'll just be different problems. Some cinemas will have a highly pixelated image. So it's not as if digital projection is automatically going to mean brilliant projection.
It
just means the potential is there for it.
Right.
Depending on the theater, you may still have problems.
Christopher Llewellyn Reed is a chair and associate professor of the Department of Film and Video at Stevenson University. Linda DeLibero, associate director of film studies at Johns Hopkins University. This is our monthly Midday on Film. Today we're taking a look at the movie making in the digital age. When we come back, the writer and director of this film that we're talking about, Side by Side, a documentary produced by Keanu Reeves, it takes an in-depth look at the digital revolution in cinema. We welcome your questions and comments about digital versus film. 410-662-8780 is the number for Midday. Our email address, midday@wypr.org.
In 2009, Slumdog Millionaire won the Academy Award for Best Cinematography. It was the first time the award was given to a movie shot almost entirely on digital cameras.
So you're at the Academy Awards. Do you feel like that film...
Yeah.
Did that film make digital acceptable in the mainstream now?
The success of Slumdog with the critics and with the audience symbolizes something of an epoch. It perhaps puts Hammer's stake a little bit further into the ground as far as acceptance of digital formats.
As another excerpt from the film that we've been discussing, Side by Side, a 2012 documentary produced by Keanu Reeves, and it takes an in-depth look at the digital revolution in cinema, which is what we're discussing today on Midday on Film. A Side by Side features interviews with directors, cinematographers, film students, producers, and I said exhibitionists before. I meant to say film exhibitors.
There are always those in film, Dan.
I'm sorry about that.
Many of those.
Chris Keneally is the writer and director of Side by Side and joins us by phone now. Chris, thanks for making time for us here on WYPR.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, just a word on how this project came together, Keanu Reeves' interest in this, and what brought the whole project together for you?
Yeah, so I was a post-production supervisor on a movie called Henry's Crime that Keanu was producing and starring in. So we spent a lot of time, you know, working on that in post, in editing, and doing sound, and doing the color work and digital intermediate, all the work at the lab, things like that. Keanu was just really interested in it and fascinated by the change that was taking place in the industry, you know, obviously changing from film to digital. And he'd seen another documentary that I had made and liked it, and one day came up to me and said, hey, you know what, you're a documentary filmmaker, why don't we make a movie about this subject and kind of capture this great moment of change that we're going through? And I said, of course, let's do it.
And the result is Side by Side. We mentioned earlier on the show, Chris, that there was a screening at Cinema Sundays here in Baltimore, which is an ongoing series at the Charles Theater in Baltimore. It led to quite a spirited discussion. Christopher Llewellyn Reed is here with us. Chris Reed led the discussion that day. And Linda DeLibro, you were there.
I was there.
And you were very impressed at the lengthy debate that followed this. And I just wondered, has this happened at other screenings of Side by Side?
It's been really interesting. It's been a lot of fun. The Q&As and the screenings I've been able to go to, there's always great questions. And, you know, people are really passionate about this because, you know, people love film, and it's been a huge part of our lives and our entertainment. So I think people are worried and concerned and want to know what's going on and will things, you know, they don't want to lose something that they love.
Hey, Chris Reed here, and I was the one who presented the film and the discussion afterwards. I really enjoyed it, and I teach film at a university where students are highly interested in this topic because it affects them daily. I was wondering if you could talk briefly in terms of the formats that you used to shoot the film. It was shot, I believe, on two separate digital cameras. I was wondering if you could just briefly talk about how you made the film, both in production and post.
Sure. Even though Side by Side features, you know, some big name people and, you know, we have Keanu Reeves, you know, producing it and on screen, it was really a tiny crew and a low budget documentary. And for that reason, we shot digitally. I think documentaries for years have already kind of seized, the digital technology and seen it as an advantage, because in documentaries, as opposed to sort of, you know, the Hollywood bigger films that we focused on, you know, are not as concerned with just pure image quality. There's other things to take into consideration. So we shot with these Panasonic cameras. I think it's called the HPX 170. It's really like a consumer, prosumer grade camera.
I own the same camera. It's a good camera.
Okay. Yeah, I mean they're cheap. They're easy to use. They're easy to carry around. Quick setup. So for all the interviews, we used two of those. And then a lot of the really cool B-roll type of things you see sort of like inside of labs and theaters and things like that. We used a Canon 5D, which is a DSLR camera, which it looks like a still camera. That's originally what it was designed for, but it shoots, you know, really beautiful video. We actually talk about that camera.
So making Chris, making this film did not cost you as much as it would have if it was all on film. Obvious, is that that's obvious to everyone? I just want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah, that's true, and yeah. I think it would have been a much different film because you know, the way we were able to get kind of these really relaxed, almost conversational interviews and moments was because we just shot, you know, we'd shoot for 40 minutes or an hour, and you could just let the cameras keep running. And I think it put people at ease. If we were shooting film, you know, it would have taken, I think, a little bit longer to light and set up, and right. People would have been a little bit more uptight, and we would have had to keep stopping.
Linda DeLibro has a question for you, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that you spent quite a long time on this film and you interviewed many, many people and lots of hours of interviews. And I was wondering exactly how going through all of this and talking to all these people shaped your perceptions of the controversy and whether or not it pushed you over to one side or the other.
Right. That's a good question. I mean, I tried to enter the discussion, you know, kind of without an opinion or without an agenda. You know, we're speaking to experts. We're speaking to, you know, like you mentioned, David Lynch, George Lucas, James Cameron, all these amazing people. And I would assume that they know more about it than I do. But there was no consensus even between the people we interviewed. So Keanu and I didn't try to inject our own opinion, and we tried to be open-minded ourselves.
Isn't there always going to be now an economic consideration for those making films? I mean,
Is, and especially, you know, the smaller the movie, the more independent the movie, the more that the type of camera and the type of technology you use will affect the budget. If you're shooting a big blockbuster movie, you know, the camera and the lab development costs and those things are not they're kind of a smaller percentage of the budget. You're spending, you know, a lot of money already on crew and actors and all kinds of things. So it's not a huge difference there. But if you're making an independent film or a documentary, you know, shooting on digital, you're definitely going to save money.
Chris Keneally, our guest by phone, is the writer and director of Side by Side, this documentary produced by Keanu Reeves, narrated by Keanu Reeves. It takes an in-depth look at the digital revolution in cinema. And we're talking about that in this hour of the show, folks, Midday on Film. If you want to weigh in with a question or an opinion about this, please give us a ring, 410-662-8780. John in Mount Washington, we're going to include you in this conversation. John, thanks for calling Midday.
Thank you. Yes, I've made a little three-minute film, actually, back in 96 at Towson University. Got a few awards for it, and it was a chemical base, meaning that it was based on just that film. I mean, this conversation reminds me back when the digital format and audio was coming on board, that is with CDs and vinyl, and some people had the same argument, which is vinyl is more warmer. Granted, yes, digital is a better format because it's a cleaner process, et cetera, et cetera. So I think this conversation, although may be important, it's not necessarily new, because I remember taking an art course back in college, and I remember it was something like a drawing for non-artists anyway. But the point being is that the art instructor had made the comment. He says when photography had first come online, there were artists even then who were automatically protesting and saying it's a cheat by virtue of the fact that instead of you sitting there having to construct an image by way of composition, by way of a line, and then determining whether or not it will fit upon the canvas or the drawing paper, now you have this automatic image that's automatically restored for you by way of this camera, this electronic device at the time, chemical-based device. That is, you know, light hits the film emulsion, and thus, by result, you have an image. But in short, for my own part, I think the digital way is better by virtue of the fact that, as you already touched upon, it is cheaper, because even though there were those of us who wanted to get into film, when I was in college, we was going through the transition of film to digital. And if you now can afford a camera for the price of, say, maybe $200, you can now do a digital movie.
Thank you, John. What about this comparison with that he makes with the advent of compact discs for audio recordings?
I think it's about... Chris, you go ahead, Chris. You take it.
I was going to say, it's absolutely true. I mean, a lot of the digital to analog changeover has already occurred. It happened earlier in audio. Audio went digital years and years ago. The same thing happened with still photography. But with feature films, it's different because there's a lot more information, and the cameras definitely were not technically of the same quality. Whereas in audio, it's a smaller sampling size or smaller amount of information, and the computers could handle it earlier. Computers / digital cameras are just now being able to be of the same quality as film capture, or arguably of the same quality.
For the sake of those in our audience listening to this who, you know, like movies, may not be film nuts, but really do love going to the cinema and seeing movies on the big screen and seeing them at home, you know, one wants to ask the question, what difference is it going to make to them as the viewer? If you could characterize or give us in brief form what the pro film side says when it argues for continued use of film by serious filmmakers. Could you help me with that, Linda?
Well, I think the consensus, even among the diehards, and this is something Christopher Nolan said in the film, it's not so much, it's obvious that digital is not going to go away. It's obvious that digital is going to get better and better in terms of its quality. But what that means is that film, for those who want to use it, will no longer be available. And that's the thing I think a lot of artists really fear. It's not like a painter, you know, you can use oils or acrylics. No, if acrylic comes along, that doesn't mean you throw out all the oil and stop painting with it.
Right.
Because of the economic imperative with film, it does mean film is going to become unavailable to use when you want it for aesthetic reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that troubles a lot of people.
And I would agree that that's a concern. On the other hand, throughout the history of human evolution and innovation and invention, we have abandoned other previously, at one point, mainstream technologies. What concerns me is if we're adopting this too quickly and what we're losing when we do if we're not examining it.
Right.
If we're just adopting it for economic reasons, but the technology isn't quite up there yet to be a truly artistic reason for adopting it, then that gives me pause for concern. But so far, I'm very happy with the direction in which the digital technologies are moving. They're becoming increasingly high-end, and I think the image is virtually indistinguishable.
But given what you said about the technology and the process, right, of getting a film from production onto a screen, it sounds like no film will be untouched by digital technology. Right.
That's correct.
Even a film film.
And that's already true.
Yeah, and that's been increasingly true since the 1980s, thanks to people like George Lucas,
mm-hmm.
That we've seen increasing kind of encroachments of digital processes on the post-production. And Chris Keneally, who's a digital a post-production supervisor, would be, you know, extremely qualified to have seen that happening all this time. You rarely see, you know, film on film on film from beginning to end.
Chris, do you want to add to that, Chris Keneally?
Yeah, that's true, and really only, you know, Christopher Nolan is one of the guys right now who's not even using that, you know, digital intermediate process where even if you shot film, you know, you digitize it and you color correct it digitally and then go back to film. He and his DP, Wally Pfister, really try to shoot on film and then color correct on film and make film prints. I mean, they do have some visual effects in the movie, so there are some digital aspects to it, but they try to do as much as they can purely on film.
Chris Keneally,
very rare.
Chris Keneally is the writer director of Side by Side, a documentary about the digital revolution in cinema. Linda DeLibero and Christopher Llewellyn Reed, our guests for the monthly installment of Midday on Film. I'm going to read an email here from Steve in Baltimore, and like all of our guests, to comment on it if you wish. Steve says, "I find the look of contemporary digital movies to be both too hyper-realistic and at the same time too phony-looking, too sharply defined. I think older movies that relied on inventive lighting and choice of film stock to convey a feeling and a mood through a particular look that was established during filming, rather than after the fact with digital manipulation, gave a heightened dreamlike effect that worked on the viewer's subconscious. While some of this may not have been too realistic, it was more artful. I think especially of the film noir of Anthony Mann, Jacques Tourneur, Fritz Lang, in which lighting was a key element. And lastly, Steve says, there is such a thing as too much realism. Would we like paintings by Michelangelo or Rembrandt or Vermeer if they looked more like color photographs? It's interesting comments here. Anybody want to?
Well, of course, we don't know what the Michelangelo paintings looked like when they were first painted. They've come down to us with a certain fading, so the colors may have been quite different when they were painted. So
true.
I'm not sure that we can always comment on what that was like to experience them live.
Right.
I would say, though, that while I understand where Steve's coming from, I would argue that you do see just as much kind of high-quality lighting and visuals in modern digital filmmaking as you did in the 1940s, and I'm a big fan of film noir.
And where have you noticed that?
Could you mention a film? There are some beautiful films shot on digital cameras like The Red, such as Winter's Bone, which is not at all, has no visible visual effects, and yet it's a film that very much kind of has the image that is its top priority, beautiful lighting, beautiful dreamlike scenes. So I think it's possible to achieve these effects even with digital cameras.
Right. And I think here's the thing. And again, kind of going back to that toolbox analogy, I've seen directors who use digital for a very particular narrative or aesthetic purpose. And I'm thinking in particular of two films off the top of my head, David Lynch's Inland Empire, which was shot on a very lousy, cheap, old, I think it wasn't even an HD camera.
It was mini DV.
Yeah, it was. And this film, the claustrophobic air, there's something very disturbing and creepy about the world that he's trying to create, and that particular camera is perfect for what he wanted to do. And another one is Public Enemies. Michael Mann started shooting on digital quite early. Public Enemies came out it was just a few years ago, maybe 2007 or 8.
2009, I think.
And people gave him a lot of crap about shooting on digital. They said you could tell it was HD. There was a very famous sequence at night in the woods, a gun battle, and I thought, oh, that just looks amazing. And he said he was trying to make the past not look like the past, so that it had this immediacy to it.
And your reaction the first time was that it was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And it was used purposefully for a particular effect. He talks about this, and there are all kinds of great possibilities that open up when you use these cameras. But again, it's kind of sad to hear people, cinematographers say, if it goes away, if film goes away entirely, that's something is lost that can never be regained. Mm.
I wanted to bring up something here and maybe get Chris Keneally or any of our guests to comment on this. And I expressed this to Linda before, and that is in action films. It's interesting that you mentioned George Lucas and Christopher Nolan being on, opposite sides of this debate, right? I've noticed just in watching action films of the last 5 to 6 years, and maybe I'm just getting old or something, or I need new glasses, I can't keep up with what's happening. I get very confused at the action, as computer-generated action is what I'm talking about. And I think I did better in the old days when they used film to make these action sequences. What's going on? Can you help me with this? Is it pixelation? Is it films being made for 20-somethings and teenagers? What's going on there, Chris?
Well, some of it's editing style as well. I mean, you just mentioned Christopher Nolan. I remember not the most recent Batman, but the one before that. There were some fight scenes in things were cutting so quickly between, just within the fight and also between three different scenes and three different environments. And I came out of that movie feeling a little punch drunk, and that was shot on film and everything. So
okay.
I'm not sure it's the digital
so
quality.
So it's the
I
editing.
I know what you mean. Sometimes visual effects are done poorly, and they don't seem real. And when you see a stunt with a real person, there's something our brains recognize that's an actual human form doing that. And I think that's very hard to replicate in digital effects. That being said, though, there's effects happening in movies that you don't even realize, and they're in the movies that you wouldn't even think are action films or big blockbusters. Sometimes in small dramas, especially period films, a lot of the backgrounds and things like that have been shot against a green screen and then rebuilt to look like something, which, you know, saves the production a lot of money. And there's just amazing things that you don't even notice. When you're noticing a visual effect, that's usually when it's been done poorly.
And I would say, as somebody who started his film career editing on film and then transitioned to editing digitally, you definitely edit differently using a nonlinear digital editing program. And I think a lot of what Dan's talking about is a result of these nonlinear digital editing programs that started being used in the late 80s and are now ubiquitous, mm-hmm. that have really changed the pace of editing.
What are they thinking when they do this? That this is what teenagers like, 20-something boys? What's going on there?
I think it's also just becoming a widespread cultural aesthetic that we're all becoming being more used to the fast cutting.
I guess so. Yeah. We have to take a break. Chris Keneally, I appreciate you being here with us. I want to mention, or at least being on the phone with us, Side by Side, your documentary is available as a video on demand. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's video on demand, so you can get it on, you know, your cable TV. It's also on iTunes and Amazon and Vudu.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Thanks. I'm glad you mentioned that, because folks would be interested in this. It's called Side by Side. We put a link to the Side by Side website on the Dan Roderick's Facebook page. You can find it there. We've been speaking with Christopher Keneally, who's the writer and director of this film about the digital revolution in cinema. Chris, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. It's been fun.
We're going to take a little break here. When we come back, some more of your phone calls, 410-662-8780. If you want to have a weigh in on this question of the digital revolution in film and whether this word film is going to go away completely, is film dead? 410-662-8780. The Midday email address is midday@wypr.org. Dan Roderick's here with Linda DeLibero and Christopher Llewellyn Reed. We'll be right back.
The delivery system of cinema is going to change. And that's almost kind of more exciting in a way for me, besides the actual cameras. Because the very ancient system of putting a can of film on a truck, driving it to a city, unloading it, that's being replaced.
The old way of having to ship giant film cans around is very, very expensive. So the business realized that there was a tremendous possible savings in digital delivery and digital projection.
Again, that's a clip from the documentary we've been discussing this hour, Side by Side, about the digital revolution in cinema. Did you want to say something about that, Chris Reed?
That was Lana, formerly Larry Wachowski, and Thomas Rothman, who was until recently the chairman and chief executive of Fox Film Entertainment. So they... two people who are very much immersed in this digital distribution, and I think they bring up a good point and further underline how economics is driving a lot of this, perhaps more than artistic or aesthetic reasons.
Yeah, and that the exhibition part is the part that I have the biggest problem with, and I think that is going to be the most troubling aspect. And it's not the viewing of contemporary digital films, which again is, it always looks really great on the screen, except when there are these problems that will eventually be ironed out. But what this means in terms of storage and archiving films, current films and past films, is kind of troubling, because first of all, you're going to have films stored on digital are notoriously fragile. Ironically, and they talk about this at the end of Side by Side. Film itself never dies. It stays around for thousands of years.
As long as it's stored properly.
Yes, as long as it's stored properly, it never goes away. So now what you're going to have with every theater in the country turning digital, little art houses who can't afford to make the transition, who still use 35, they're going to be in trouble, because those 35 millimeter prints will have to be digitized in order to show them on digital projectors. And who is going to put up the money for that? because if the 35 millimeter projector goes away, then all of those films that are never digitized also go away and become unavailable, except for maybe, university platforms,
right.
Things like that.
Right.
At one point, Lana Wachowski says, well, if people really want something preserved, they'll find a way to do it. Well, that's not true.
It's not true. Can I just add something here?
Yeah.
I have a similar question about news film from local TV stations all across this country through the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Local news photographers went out with film and recorded events, right? And then they switched over to video, and now they're all into digital, right? The news that we see in our local communities. I don't know where all that stuff is. Some of it has been saved. I know that some TV stations here have contributed to a university library, some film from the 50s and 60s. But I think there's going to be a big blank space there. That record is going to disappear unless someone steps up and preserves it. And I don't know anyone who's doing it.
I think the problem goes beyond just the film world, too. I think as we move into digital storage for anything, books, print media, films, we're going to find ourselves requiring that we have a device to view things, whereas with film, you just hold it up to light and you can see it.
Right.
A book, you just open the page. So I think we haven't quite solved that problem of how we're going to archive things in this emerging technology area.
Yeah, it's going to be a big problem, I think.
Midday on Film with Linda DeLibero and Christopher Llewellyn Reed. Back to our phone lines, Jim and Towson. We welcome you to the show. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
Boy, oh boy. We're not going to have anything left. It'll all disappear. I mean, if you had wedding pictures done 20 years ago in color, forget it. You better keep them in a drawer tight.
Mm-hmm.
What I called about was, I have a question. Do the subtle differences between films like Kodachrome, Ektachrome, Technicolor, maybe film stocks from other countries, Agfa, can that be duplicated with digital? That was just a technical question.
I think you will see some built-in differences between various digital cameras, but I think what we're going to see much more of is no longer will such differences be manifested on the capture of the media, but in the post-production. I think the more seismic shift that we're seeing in filmmaking, which we haven't talked about today, is the shift away from the importance of capturing the image towards the importance of manipulating it in post-production.
Mm-hmm.
So subtle differences like that will no longer be the province of the cinematographer, but will be the province of the post-production supervisor, the editor, the special effects coordinator. And while that may be a sad thing to lose that in the importance of the cinematographer, I think we're already there and it's sort of inevitable.
Let's go to Dundalk and take Jimmy's call next. Jimmy, you're on Midday. Hi.
Hey, great conversation. I've actually been a post-production editor for 15 years, and I grew up with Avid systems, which I'm sure your guest knows about. And it's true. Color correction is where we do all the finessing and adjusting, and that all happens at the end of the line now, whereas before, it was part of the capture process.
What was your question, please? Yeah.
Yeah, my question is what's the difference between, you guys are talking the word digital. Are we really talking about video, or is there a space between video and film that we're calling digital cinema that has different characteristics? What's the difference between a red camera and a regular video
okay.
camera?
I would say
video is no longer a word that's applicable here, because video is sort of a word we were using in the 80s, the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And now we're talking, just as you said, about digital cinema, where the resolution has become high-end enough that it's a rival to film. So you can say digital cinema. Video, for me, and I think for most people, and in the movie side by side, you don't really hear it used. Video is a word of the past. And we're talking about a technology that can, in some ways, rival the quality of the film image.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
For folks who are going out looking at films or watching films this fall over the past summer, this fall, going into the winter, what kind of can you talk about films that are completely digital and some that you mentioned, Lincoln, that was shot on film?
That's right. Spielberg believes, he and his cinematographer, Janusz Kaminski, believe in 35-millimeter film. They shot Lincoln on 35. But there'll be some other films that you might be surprised were shot digitally, such as the new James Bond film, Skyfall, or the film Flight by Robert Zemeckis.
Why would I be surprised?
Well, because I think they're such kind of large-scale epic films that we tend to associate with that kind of vibrant quality of image. In most people's minds, they think, oh, film.
Right.
You know,
Gone with the Wind.
And a lot of people still think of digital as somehow not being up to that. But but these films are really, you know, have high-quality images. And I know Linda was a big fan of The Master. Perhaps you want to...
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Paul Thomas Anderson's film, The Master.
Yeah,
what's special about this in the context of what we're discussing today?
Well, P.T. Anderson is a film guy. And he shot The Master on 65 millimeter to be projected in 70 millimeter, ideally. And if you want to see it in 70, you better hurry down to the AFI Silver Theater because it's only playing one more week there in 70. The part of the justification for this is that, you know, he's one of the people who believes that the color gradation, the size of the image, the quality of the image is crucial, and that video, digital is not quite there yet. And if you see a film like this, I don't know if, again, the layperson would be able to tell the difference at this point, but there are a number of directors in Hollywood who really are not ready to make the transition. But the fact, again, is that they're kind of being pushed into it by the studios who are going to save a lot of money by losing film.
And I just wanted to add one thing to that, because I think Linda makes an excellent point. But increasingly, as people view movies on iPads, iPhones, Android devices, it'll cease to matter sometimes in terms of what it was shot on, because the screen you're watching it on is so small.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's shot in 70 millimeter. And I think that's another thing. We're moving away from this communal digital experience, which they talk about in the film Side by Side. And that is also going to affect how films are made in terms of, you know, how they're distributed and how you're watching it. And that's another seismic shift ahead.
Yeah, and that's part of, you know, for me, the question of the technology in itself is not really that interesting. I mean, if digital gets better and better and better, that's terrific. But I think the interesting question is, how is it going to affect narrative? How is it going to affect storytelling? And with the editing, I mean, that's something that's very visible. You can see digital editing and the effect it's had on storytelling over the space of time that it's been in use, where you have shorter and shorter scenes, mm-hmm. so that the cut is, you know, instead of being 30 seconds, it's now down to a millisecond, and that changes the viewing experience.
Brent, writing to us by email, says, in 1999, I went to see the fourth Star Wars movie at the Senator Theater in Baltimore. We were excited to hear when they announced before the movie started that George Lucas had chosen the Senator Theater that night to be the very first theater in the country to project a movie in 100% digital. Apparently, the Senator was used that night as a pilot theater to test the technology. This is in contrast to what they said in the documentary Side by Side. But anyway, I was blown away with how beautiful the movie looked. We sat right up front and did not see any scratches or dust.
Absolutely. And they clearly, therefore, had the right, you know, projector for that.
Christopher Llewellyn Reed with us today, Midday on Film, is the chair and associate professor in the Department of Film and Video at Stevenson University, and Linda DeLibro is Associate Director of Film Studies at Johns Hopkins University. They join us on the first Friday of every month for Midday on Film. I certainly did enjoy this, and we'll look to see the rest of that movie Side by Side. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Thank you,
Dan. I called it a movie. Did you hear me?
It's great.
And you probably always will.
Film and movie, great words.
Thank you very much to our guests and to our listeners. Thanks for tuning in. This is Dan Rodericks for our staff here at Midday. Have a great weekend. We'll see you again on Monday.